This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your home and business security company. We're jumping all over the place today. The theme of the day, kind of general managers. Ben Charrington's Buccos are 11-19. Third worst record in all of Major League Baseball. Not a single player drafted by Ben Charrington was in the lineup last night. Kyle Dubas just parted ways with Mike Sullivan, so he's in the limelight. And Omar Khan just finished up his third draft with the Steelers, and I think it's about time we start grading this guy and figuring out what he's done. And I think clearly he's the best of the bunch, Omar Khan.
Yes, but
high bar to clear.
Yeah, but he also is getting the most help, too. Like, he's not just this sole GM like Kyle Dubas is, like Ben Charrington is. Omar Khan has Andy White, old Mike Tomlin.
Yep. For better or worse.
For better or worse, but, like, it's not just his sole job of, you know, facilitating the teams.
I want to get into their plan and what he's done so far coming up in a couple of minutes, and then get to the phone lines here. People calling in, I think, defending Kyle Dubas. But a stat.
Great. I want to hear, too,
a stat that I didn't bring up from the Pirates game last night. The Chicago Cubs struck out zero times.
Oh, really?
It's 2025. They didn't strike out once, Dickerson. Not one time? Not one time. Holy bird milk, as Starkey would say. That's what you go back and look at box scores from, like, 1903. The starting pitcher went 12 innings, striking out zero, giving up two runs. Like, guys used to never strike out. It's 2025. Everybody strikes out.
Crazy.
412-928-9370. We threw up a Twitter poll yesterday. Do you trust Kyle Dubas' vision for the Penguins? 67% of you said yes. Why? Vic in Cleveland, hello.
What's up, baby? Hey, it's your boy Vic, man. I'm calling. I am a Pittsburgh fan first and foremost. I don't know what the Penguins is doing, but I don't trust them. I never trusted the Pirates. You just told me they didn't strike out anybody.
That's
first
right.
And foremost. That is unbelievable. But it's unfortunate, but unfathomable that you would even think the expectations for Pittsburgh or for the Penguins or the Pirates, for that matter, would even be good. Second of all, we're going to talk about this Pittsburgh Steeler talk with Omar Khan, because the Khan man is a good guy. And the Khan man makes sure we got a rotation on our D-line with Andy Weidel. Okay, what we got to do now is start getting that fullback that we paid that guaranteed money to. I want to know if he is even good enough to pay a guaranteed contract to an undrafted free agent. I want to know what in the world would even possess somebody to give him that kind of money unless he's that good.
Thank you for the call, Vic. I mean, it's much ado about nothing when you're talking about giving a guy $50,000.
Who?
Is the guy that we brought up on the morning the other day.
The fullback?
The fullback. The fullback tight end guy.
The Dorn guy?
Yeah, the guy that was the new Doran Dickerson.
They gave him a full, they gave him a signing bonus?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Well, they gave him $50,000 or something?
I love this town. And Vic's a great caller. Vic, you call back anytime. We love you.
That was great.
412-928-9370.
That means he might make the roster, though, for real. Like, I mean, that's not, like, I know it sounds funny, but, like, if you're going to give an undrafted free agent a signing bonus that is significantly higher than the market, which is probably like, what, 15K or something, 10K? If you're going to give them like 50, 60,000, they're probably going to make the roster. You really, really like them.
Sure. And if Vic's bummed out by that, okay, fine. But would you rather spend money on an undrafted free agent who's going to play special teams for you or spend $5 million on a Derek Watt? I would much rather spend money on a youngster trying to prove himself and cut his teeth in the NFL than spend guaranteed money on a guy who was a fullback but barely ever played fullback. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Which will barely have to play fullback in the NFL. You're playing like four plays.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin said that they're a dying breed, just like nose tackles. Then they drafted a nose tackle in the fifth round. And I'll be clear, I'm not criticizing that pick. I'm just saying that sometimes coaches lie. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Texter, Kyle Dubas, more like Kyle Boobass. Get it?
Mm.
Listen, I hear he's a good guy, and I hope he succeeds. And I do like how this Gensel trade is materializing at this point. You got a first-round pick. You have Ville Koivunen, who came up 8 games, 7 points, was tearing it up in the AHL. I like that player. And ultimately, Carolina only got 17 games out of Jake Gensel in the regular season. So for 17 games of Jake Gensel, you did get a pretty nice return. And they do have all these draft picks. I just don't know that he's going to nail this next portion of the rebuild, and he's going to knock it out of the park. And you need to.
Yeah.
There can be no missteps here. Like, you are pivoting this thing, not necessarily on a dime because you've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row, but you are pivoting this thing and you're trying to get the boat docked in probably 2 years now. You got to be darn near perfect. And I just don't know what about this guy's past would make you say, oh, he's going to do the perfect stuff. He might, but I don't think there's any evidence to support that.
I mean, because he was the number one guy that was on the list of GMs whenever the Penguins needed a GM.
Right.
You know, he was that can't-miss guy. He didn't even want to come back to. He wanted to take a year off.
And then they made him an offer, Dorn, that he couldn't refuse.
Right. I don't know.
I am getting fitted for glasses.
Really?
I went to VisionWorks in the mall the other day, and I need glasses.
Like for?
When I'm driving, I can't see.
Same here.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We're both going to be up in here in glasses. Oh, no. But I'd rather get LASIK.
No, you don't.
Why?
It feels like there's sand in your eyes as you recover from the LASIK.
I know, but then you're good.
You are. It's like getting a vasectomy. Some people are saying LASIK is the vasectomy for your eyes.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm going to say something, but no. Yes, it is.
Trust your instinct. What do you got? No, don't get canceled.
No.
Don't get FCC violations.
You're going to get glasses. Are you going to wear glasses in here?
Yeah, and my point being, Kyle Dubas is a young guy who likes analytics, and he wears glasses. And I think people, and he's well-spoken, people think he's a genius. He might well be smart. But this is a very difficult job, and he's made some really bizarre decisions, if not just downright awful, like Tristan Jarry and Ryan Graves. I think if you and I are wearing glasses, and so many people watch us on the YouTube stream now, I think we're smarter. We don't get a single extra IQ point, but I think with the glasses, my man, my friend, compadre and brother, I think that we wind up looking smarter. It might be good for the show.
Maybe. I'll go in with you with the glasses. I'll wear glasses, for sure.
Have you ever done the contacts thing?
No.
I don't like sticking my finger up in my eye.
No, I'm not doing all that.
No.
My eyes always itch anyway, so then it'd be even worse if I have to stick my finger in my
eye. Yeah, that's no good.
Uh-uh.
I know where these hands have been.
Right, yeah.
I don't need to be putting them in my eye.
No.
We'll get more into Omar Khan as we move forward. Goodbye, Sully. This hour.
Can I raise my hand and ask a question?
Of course, the gentleman in the front with the glasses.
It's very interesting that, you know, the whole minority stake, getting rid of a minority stake of the company, has that ever been solved and what that was about? And then now this happens?
I don't know, but I can answer that question this way. Fenway Sports Group can't be happy with what's gone on so far.
No.
They wanted to make the playoffs those first couple of years. TK's talked about this a lot, as have we. You're making that money in the NHL, it's because you're putting asses in seats.
Yeah.
And you're winning playoff series. Like, they're breaking even. Unless they're getting into the playoffs, unless they're selling that place out and selling parking and concessions every night. And when you bought the team, they were perennially, at worst, making the playoffs. And they haven't made it in 3 years now. Three? They yep. can't be happy with this. And they loved Sully, by all accounts. That's why you pay him. You see, these owners and GMs and coaches, you can flap your gums. Like, we're going to find out about Kyle Dubas based on the moves he makes.
Quick.
Mike Tomlin could say, oh, nose tackles are a dying breed. They're still going to draft one in round five. That tells you the opposite of what his lips were saying. Like, this ownership group, oh, they fired Sullivan. Did they? Because they paid his ass a lot before the general manager. Like, that's the information I'm going off of. Like, you can lie. Money's going to talk. Where's your money go? That's the real truth. That was a diatribe by me, and for that, I apologize. Chris in the car, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Peachy.
Hey, he has a blueprint from Washington to follow, putting people around their stars.
You know what? I'll cut you off real quick, Chris, and then we'll let you keep going. He basically said he doesn't want to follow that blueprint, though, at the end of the year. You know,
but just like you said, coaches and GMs talk, but don't really mean what they're saying.
Okay, fair enough. You think they're going to try to contend next year? Because Washington went from being a team that barely squeaked into the playoffs to one that was contending for the President's Trophy. Do you think that Kyle Dubas views this as a one-year turnaround?
Well, if they sign someone like Mitch Marner to $12 million a year and then get other pieces around them, that should put them into contention.
It would. But it wouldn't just be Mitch Marner for a year.
What, I mean, if he feels that it's a one-year turnaround, wouldn't Sully still be here?
Correct. And that's a better point that you made that I should have made, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. I feel like it is not a one-year turnaround. He doesn't see it as a one-year turnaround. It's going to take multiple years. And that's why Sully is like, yeah, no, I'm out because I want to win now.
That's a great point. Sully wanted to win. He wanted to win all year. Just look at who he played and who he should have played. Wanted to win all year. Kyle Dubas doesn't want to win next year. And that might be the right idea. That might be the right idea. Don't just try to patchwork it so you can squeak in next season. No, you want to build a team that can perennially contend. That might be the right idea. But, I mean, that's how he views it. And Sully obviously did not. 412-928-9370. Do you have faith in the direction that Kyle Dubas is taking this thing in? 412-928-9370. Best caller on this or our Omar Khan discussion coming up next. We'll win two tickets to the AC/DC show coming up. Do we now see the vision for these Pittsburgh Steelers, Dorn? We'll get into that coming up. We'll look at Omar Khan's three drafts and the direction he's taking this club. 724, time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Last thing Dorn said before we turned the microphones on was, why'd they have to name her Sandy Cheeks in SpongeBob? Talking about her butt.
Yeah. Why'd they do that?
Sandy Cheeks, a attractive
squirrel?
Cartoon squirrel?
No. She's not.
You ever been attracted to a cartoon?
Yes.
Me too. I'll tell you who it is. Android 18 in Dragon Ball Z. I think it was 18.
Mm.
There were two dude androids and one chick android, and I might have said the dude android, but I have to look it up.
Wait,
now.
What?
Yeah.
You're attracted to the dude android?
I'm not. No, we're good. Android 18. Super hot android. Super hot cartoon robot lady.
Mrs. Incredible?
Mrs. Incredible. There enough room in that suit for two, Dorn?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're getting at.
Android 18, yeah.
Okay.
Blonde hair, kind of punk.
Yeah.
Rocker kind of chick, yeah.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, Bulma from Dragon Ball Z with the blue hair.
Bulma?
Mm-hmm. I think it was Bulma. See how my recall powers are doing at 725.
Yeah.
You could see it with her.
Yeah.
There was some nudity in the magazines.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this a kid's show?
Yeah. But in Japan, I guess they have different rules.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but gotcha. she was nude in the graphic novels a lot. Just going to throw that out there.
Wow.
You could text us cartoons you were attracted to. It's more fun than talking about the state of Pittsburgh sports right now. You can also tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I guess Sandy Cheeks just didn't do it for you.
No, she didn't. No.
So people now defending Tristan Jarry by way of trying to defend Kyle Dubas, and I will not stand for that. Tristan Jarry, he could not play goal behind this defense. This defense sucked. Yeah, this defense wasn't good. I looked it up. Just quick Google search here. Tristan Jarry, 79th, Doran, in the league in goals saved above average. So he didn't stop the pucks he was supposed to stop. And yeah, the defense was bad. Also, who built the defense? Oh, yeah. Kyle Dubas. People texting in Jessica Rabbit and Lola Bunny.
Yes.
Lola Bunny from Space Jam, right?
Correct.
That's a cute rabbit.
Yeah, she's top tier.
Someone says Rudolph always got me going when I was a kid.
Rudolph?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
The reindeer?
Yeah, the red-nosed reindeer.
That's weird.
412-928-9370. Best caller, going to get a pair of tickets to the AC/DC show coming up at Acrisure Stadium. So we'll get to your calls on Dubas coming up in a moment. I think it's crystal clear the Steelers have a plan. And I'm wondering if people think they're screwing this quarterback thing up. And I'm talking about this offseason. Clearly, they didn't do the right thing with Kenny Pickett. And the draft pick, fine, you can criticize, but really the structure around him can criticize as well with Matt Canada. You can criticize what they did with Mason Rudolph the first time around, not having a quarterback's coach. You can criticize the picking of Mason Rudolph. But I'm talking about the Omar Khan regime. Omar Khan was not the general manager when they drafted Kenny Pickett. He was when they moved off of him after 2 years. And Mitch Trubisky wasn't the answer, but again, that was a Kevin Colbert decision. Last year, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Was that a screw-up? I mean, neither guy's really worked well, but I think arguably the best available options at the time. Right now, their quarterback's Mason Rudolph. If they don't get Aaron Rodgers, I would say that they're screwing it up. But guys like Mark Caboli and Jerry Dulac seem to think that this is a fait accompli and he'll be the guy. Clearly, they weren't looking at this draft as the draft to take their QB of the future. And they've got next year as that year. Mel Kiper has Drew Aller as the number one QB. Pro Football Focus had the Steelers taking Aller 14th overall in next year's draft. Whether the plan will work or not is very similar to Kyle Dubas. Like, I think Kyle Dubas, it's clear at this point, does have a plan. I think it's clear the Steelers have a plan. I don't know if it works, but do we buy that now, or are they screwing the quarterback thing up? 412-928-9370.
I don't buy that they have a plan. I buy that they've changed plans, because I could get on board if the plan all along was, as soon as the season was over, cut bait with the two quarterbacks that were on the roster last year that played last year and sign Aaron Rodgers, knowing that he was going to get released. But that wasn't their plan. Their plan was to sign Justin Fields, and that plan fell through.
I think the plan is more ambiguous than that. And maybe I'm giving them too much credit, and I fully expect the callers and maybe even you will push back against this. I think the plan was stopgap this year. Next year, let's go get our guy.
You know, so what if they signed Justin Fields? That's who they wanted.
Would have been a stopgap.
You think he would have been a stopgap?
I mean, it would have been a 2-year deal, $30 million, probably just south of what the Jets gave him. But that's a contract you can get out from under. And if you're paying him $15 million in their eyes next year as a backup, well, I mean, that's what Daniels is making with the Colts. Like, I don't think having Justin Fields here for 2 years would prohibit them from taking their guy the future next year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm more direct of the plan of like who the quarterback was going to be this year. The plan, who they wanted it to be, didn't work, and now they're scrambling for another plan. Like, who's to say even Mason would even sign back here? Like, I don't think that was a part of the plan until Justin Fields elected to go somewhere else. I
think you're probably right about that.
And Mason kind of fell in their lap. And they're like, listen, we're willing to, you know, make ends meet and give you $4.5 million to come be our maybe starter and our backup. Like, that's it. Like, here it is.
I do wonder, and this only just hit me 5 seconds ago while you were talking. I wonder if they stopped their pursuit of Justin Fields when they thought Rodgers would become more of a realistic possibility, or if it's because they struck out on Fields, they then pivoted to Rodgers.
Yeah, absolutely, the B. Absolutely.
You think Rodgers was a pivot?
Yes. Yes.
Like Ross Geller and Friends. Pivot.
Yeah.
Pivot. You never watched Friends, did you?
No.
Chandler Bing, by the way, the basketball player, he committed to Vanderbilt, just as an aside.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vanderbilt.
Nice. They weren't bad this year.
That'd be like Hillary Duff playing college basketball at UConn. Like, yes. That's just funny to me.
Yes.
So you think that Fields was the guy,
yep,
and they effed that up, and then they realized that it wasn't going to work with Artie Smith and Russell Wilson, so that's why they pivoted to Rodgers.
Yep. He's the rebound.
But if the plan the whole time is it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is this year, let's get the best available option, and then next year we've got our guy. I do think that's a plan. Maybe it didn't go exactly the way that they wanted it to, but I can live with that.
I mean, I think that their ultimate plan was to sign Justin Fields to a 2-year deal, pay him some money, him come in, him, you know, hopefully he can show something. but ultimately drafting a quarterback next year and have him sit behind Justin Fields unless Justin Fields totally bombed it this year. I think that was probably.
And then it's an open competition and you see which one of those guys wins. I mean, that's what I would have done. Yeah. We've been over this chapter.
I think
that
was the plan.
The reason why this is topical, I probably should have said this in the setup of the topic here, is because they took Will Howard, but not until the sixth round. And Shedeur Sanders was on the board for them three times when they picked. Jackson Dart, who wound up being the prospect that was more highly touted, clearly because he went 26th overall, he was on the board when they picked 21st. They could have had Jalen Milroe. They obviously never had it in their sights this year to take a quarterback, take a bite of that apple, give a guy a shot to be the franchise quarterback. And while I liked Shedeur and while guys like Starkey, whom we loved Jackson Dart, if their idea is it's Aaron Rodgers this season with Metcalf and Pickens, and let's have some fun with this and let's take a shot at it and try to win a playoff game, and next year we get our guy, I do think that's at least the framework of a plan.
Mm-hmm.
But what say you at 412-928-9370? Someone texts in, not a weird anime guy, but Topanga from Boy Meets World. Back when I was a youngster.
Yeah, that's a lot of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
She grew up nice, too.
Yeah. Seems like a nice person, too.
You think so?
Yeah.
In real life or the character?
In real life.
Character, very nice.
Yeah.
No Mr. Feeney, but very nice young lady.
Oh, she's just like a nice and just enjoys being her.
Dexter, give me all the girls from Scooby-Doo.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one.
Dexter, and then last one on this. You guys are freaks for being attracted to cartoons. I mean, they drew them on. They did it on purpose. No, they did it on purpose.
Yeah.
412-928-9370. The fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Do you like Omar Khan's plan? Do you think they have a plan? Do you like Kyle Dubas's plan? It's the GM show today. Do you have faith in the direction that Kyle Dubas is taking these Pittsburgh Penguins? Likewise, same question, Omar Khan and the Pittsburgh Steelers. 412-928-9370. Been promising these AC/DC tickets to the best caller, Doran. And instead of taking calls, we went down a sexy cartoon wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
And the text line has absolutely exploded. Stacey Keebler, folks, is not a cartoon from Full House. People were saying
Stacey Gibbler.
Gibbler. Who's Keebler?
I think she's in...
Kimmy Gibbler.
WWE.
Oh.
I think so.
As you Google.
Yes. WWE. She was a wrestler.
But not a cartoon.
No.
That's what all the people... All these creepos out there writing in Pink Power Ranger. Also not a cartoon.
Right. She did it, though, for me back in the day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, can we watch Power Ranger? Yes! Let's go to Dylan in the car. Good morning, Dylan.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Listening every morning. Love the show.
Hey, thanks, man.
Thank you.
So, I don't know if it's just me, but the Steelers are starting to look more and more and operate more and more like the Pirates do. Signing a bunch of guys near the end of their career, then maybe they'll contribute for a year. No answers. Except for DK Metcalf, that's outside of the bubble.
That's all right. Sorry, Dylan, your phone sucks.
Yeah.
That's tough because you perhaps could have won AC/DC tickets. But again, your phone sucks. Yeah, I mean, I think the DK Metcalf thing spits right in the face of it. And if you're talking about a guy like Darius Slay, look, you can't address every position in the draft when you have as many holes as they had. Like, that's just a fact. And what they decided to do was, like at the quarterback position, with corner, you bring a stopgap guy in, and I'm guessing they'll address corner next year. Could they have gone out and spent a ton of money on a free agent corner? Sure. And perhaps that's what the caller was about to argue for them to do. But you're not going to fill all your holes in one offseason because you just don't have money to spend. And people argue all the time. I've argued this. They spend too much money on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So a one-year, what, $10 million deal for a corner who graded out really well last year? And you punt that to next year to find your long-term answer apart from Joey Porter Jr., I can't have a problem with
that. I don't mind that at all. I mean, where else are they older? I mean, that they get older guys.
We talked about it yesterday. They have two guys on the defense that are going to be starters offense. That are 30-plus.
On offense, I mean, it's just, what, Sam Alu? He's the oldest?
Sam Alu would be the oldest and one of the few guys on the offensive side that's making money. Freiermuth making money, and now DK Metcalf. So,
and they're, what, 5-6 years in?
And I don't think anybody, like, I would not argue for them to have gone out and spent money on a running back.
Mm-hmm.
You address that in a draft. That's where the value is. So, yeah, I mean, they have taken some old guys on, and they're probably going to be doing that at
Robert
quarterback.
Woods.
Robert Woods would be one, but a lot of teams in the NFL are going to do that as a sixth wide receiver. And I'm not here to rubber stamp all the decisions they've made. They deserve zero benefit of the doubt. They haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. But I can see a process. Doesn't mean it's going to work. They could draft the wrong quarterback next year, and now you're in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're in real hell when you, like, it's better to have no quarterback with an eye on the next one than have the wrong one, and now you're trying to make that puzzle piece work for 4 years.
Like, if I were Omar Khan right now, like, my goal, if I know that I'm drafting a quarterback in the first round next year and one of the top six or seven guys that are going to be coming out,
yeah,
my goal this year, whether Aaron Rodgers is here or not, is to give Will Howard as many reps as possible, just in case. Just in case next year, so he's ready to even do anything next year. Like, Mason Rudolph is my third guy. He would be my, if Aaron Rodgers is here. Like, I'm giving Will Howard reps from OTAs, minicamp, as many first-team reps as I possibly can, even if Aaron Rodgers is here, just so I could prepare that if Will Howard needs to be the backup or the starter next year. I know that sounds crazy. He was a six-round pick, but I, just in case that first-round pick doesn't hit next year and isn't ready, I want to have Will Howard ready.
Yeah, I see it that way. I would view it like this. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, obviously you roll with Aaron Rodgers, and you see.
I'm just saying, like, during training camp and stuff, not during the season.
Well, see, I was going to take it a step further. If Rodgers gets hurt and it's a season ender, just go with Will Howard and see what he's got.
Mm-hmm.
You're not winning the Super Bowl. You're not winning a playoff game with Mason Rudolph. Now, if you're a good team with Rodgers and he stubs his toe and he's out for 2 weeks and you want to hand it over to Mason to keep the ship afloat, fine. But if, you know, you hope this wouldn't happen to anybody, but like the Jets, 12 plays into the season, if he's out, I would just go with Will Howard. I don't think they would.
No.
But in preseason, give Will Howard every damn snap.
Every rep.
Every snap. Newman in Monongahela. Hello, Newman.
Well, guys, you just fed right into what I was going to say, because I think Will Howard is a guy. I don't care about the sixth round. Brady was a sixth round. You know, it could happen. I think he has the intangibles. He has fire. He has command of the guys under him. I think if you got a good quarterback coach, somebody like from the McKay tree or the LaFleur tree, to coach him up, I think he could be the guy.
Well, they got Arth, and I don't think they're going to hire somebody else. I'm bullish on him, on Will Howard, as a sixth-round pick,
I mean,
within reason.
Listen. The guy just won a national championship, what, 3-4 months ago? Like, he's played at the highest level. He's played with high-level pedigree guys, too, like, that he was thrown to. Like, I am on board sometimes whenever you do draft a quarterback. It's like, oh, he was only good because he had, you know, two of the best receivers, and he had one of the best running backs. That's why he was good, like the Matt Leinarts. I understand that. But I also see that as a positive, too, in some quarterbacks. Like, you're throwing to, and you're putting the ball right where it needs to be to some of these big-time playmakers. And you know how they run. So whenever you get to the NFL, you know what it takes and how to throw a football to an elite receiver.
To a dog.
So, like, I am not going to go full in on Will Howard, but I've always been a fan, and I think he's going to have a long career in the NFL, and I think that he is capable of really being a starter at some point.
And you're not one of these guys who's saying all this just because the Steelers drafted him. You said it right after the national championship game.
Yep.
Why are more people not talking about Will Howard? I mean, and I think it's such a low-risk pick, too, dude, because if he winds up being your backup for 4 years, that's a worthwhile pick in the sixth round. So you don't have to spend $15 million on a backup like Daniel Jones. Texter, problem with all this, Crowley, is we don't have Aaron Rodgers yet. Yes, that would be the fly in the ointment. And if they don't get Rodgers and they start the season with Mason Rudolph, then, yeah, I will say that their plan absolutely failed and they should be absolutely eviscerated for it. I ain't trying to watch that guy. No offense. Mason, we love you. We love the new goatee. I ain't trying to watch that for 17 games.
Even though it would look okay because of who he's throwing to and handing the ball to.
Yeah, I mean, they'd probably win 9, 10 games.
Right. It'd look all right. It wouldn't be horrible.
It'd be like 20-17 every week. Huh. And I just don't want that anymore. I'm tired of seeing that. And we know the end of the book.
Yeah.
Like, what's the best case? What's the best case scenario?
They make it to the playoffs and lose.
Yeah. I don't need that. So give me Rodgers. Give me Will Howard. give me liberty or give me death. Doran, did you know that all the Minnesota players are twins? You like that one?
I mean, what does that have to do with? I mean, why that type of joke? If it is a joke, what is that?
That bad joke hit me in the middle of the headline.
Oh.
Not a single Cub struck out. None of the married guys did either. I amused myself. It's any wonder my wife still loves me.
I mean, jeez.
Wouldn't shock me at all if one day my kids are calling somebody else daddy. This guy sucks.
Man.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. I'll try that one out on Starkey later, see how it lands. Feel like that'd be right up his alley.
Mm.
In the meantime, Chuck in Bridgeville wants to chime in. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, just wanted to chime in on kind of the Steelers and the Omar Khan conversation. Just give my take real
sure.
quick. So I mean, I think Omar is fantastic. I think he is it's the first time in probably 6 or 7 years I feel like the Steelers have a real plan. And it feels like we're moving, you know, in a good direction. He's making really solid selections in the draft. Obviously it's going to take a few years for some of these guys to pan out, but I think we're heading the right direction. I think the biggest thing is actually something that people criticize the Steelers a lot about is, you know, we don't move off of people quickly enough, and we're kind of loyal to a fault for to a lot of these guys we saw over the past, you know, with the offensive coordinator, some of the other coordinators and coaches. But I think it works in our favor here with Omar. You look at teams like the Browns, the Jets, you know, the Panthers, they're cycling people in and out all the time. And I could guarantee you, if Omar didn't have that kind of job security, we would have panicked in this draft and probably, you know, taken at least a quarterback at 21. We might have even tried to trade up just to make sure that we got a guy.
Yeah, Chuck.
We've seen, yeah.
And thank you for the call. I'll put you on hold. You can win the AC/DC tickets. We've had enough of this.
Yes.
Enough of this. Someone needed to make a damn Jessica Rabbit joke. It would have been a clear victory.
Mm-hmm.
But now we give it to Chuck by default. I think he actually hit on something that's more interesting to me earlier on in the call, which is like they moved off of Kenny after 2 years. And I get that he wasn't necessarily Omar's guy because Omar wasn't the GM who drafted him. I'm sure he was
part of it.
Yeah, of course, because he worked in the organization forever, and I think he and Kevin saw eye to eye on a lot of things. But moving off of a quarterback after 2 years, like we've seen it at times, like Josh Rosen, just as an example. But you don't see it a lot.
That very rarely happens.
Usually you stick with your guy, and you try to see through 4 years, and then you get to that fifth-year option, I guess after three, and that's when you make the decision. So then punting on Kenny and saying, you know what, I don't know if it's going to work with Kenny someplace else, but it's not going to work here, so you move on. That's actually a point in this regime's favor, I think.